are you doing? Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available for Monday, the 1st of June 2020, with me, Daniel Ruiz Tyson, episode 238, live on Ramble FM, 10 p.m. UK time, or really 2 minutes past 10 UK time. These guys are making Resonance look like Radio 1 at the moment. I've been trying to go live for a few minutes. Nothing has really gone according to plan today, just lots of little niggly things, and this seems to have been the latest. Hope you're all well, keeping on doing what you need to be doing to keep yourself going. One big plus tonight, there was a gas van outside, which was curious to me because there's been a water leak all day. Maybe they also do some of the Thames water work. It's just such a noisy road, but at least they've gone. They turned up at just after 7 this evening. They were still out there just after 8. So that's one big plus. You know, I was watching The Last Dance on Netflix whenever that finished a couple of weeks ago or last week. And I thought it was brilliant, obviously. It's had its critics. But I enjoyed it. And I think it wasn't quite warts and all on Michael Jordan. But there was enough there to show that maybe he wasn't the best guy. But he was just an incredible sportsman. But anyway, you'd see clips of him before games, relaxing with his private security staff. And that's what I'd kind of like to do before doing the show on Monday night. And I've not been able to. I've posted pictures on the Instagram feed, 1607 West Egg, of what I've had to do to cobble this mic together this evening. Blue tack, elastic bands. It's now in a box. I'm hoping that it holds together. I'm not sure that it will. It may be the final disgrace tonight. If it does tumble over, I might have to start using it manually, like I'm a singer. So it's disappointing, but you work with what you got. And the important thing is I am working towards upgrading this equipment significantly. But obviously also I'll need to have a word with Ramble tomorrow about not being able to go out on time. You know, me with my OCDs, 10 o'clock. Should be 10 o'clock. Shouldn't be 10.02, should be 10 o'clock. I've been having all sorts of problems today with equipment, which I'll go into later. But anyway, tonight I'll be talking about my never-ending pursuit of men's hair clippers, leading me to an Argos Live chat. I'll be talking about DIY. There are some more hair shenanigans with an Alice Band visual at the weekend. The Lidl's Brixton Pistons are at it again. I've got this week's Nectar Points update and more. Let's have a call and response. Let me know you're out there on the Twitter at 1607 West Egg. I think I had one listener last week. If I'm going to go on Mixcloud, I'm going to need more than one listener because that will actually show, I think, how many listeners you've got. There's a guy I follow. We follow each other on Twitter. Can't remember what his name is. Actually, I do. It's Paul Grew. And he was on Twitter the other day. He was targeting more than 14 listeners to his next show. And I thought, well, I'll take 14. I'd be happy with 14. You know, I could build a career, rebuild a career with 14. So it's been a really irritating few days. It's a bit disorientating doing this show here. Even at this time of night, being on a main road, it's very noisy. And I've got the earphones in. Connected into the Zoom One. So everything is amplified in my ears. And it's a little disorientating. I'm always amazed when I listen back to some of this stuff before I upload it to everywhere else that it doesn't sound anywhere near as bad or as noisy as it does to me when I'm recording the show. That whole DIY fixing things around the flat has really established itself as a thing with me now. And it's good to know how to fix things and build up my knowledge, I suppose. But it does seem to be playing a more prominent role in my daily life now. I'm someone who can't multitask. I'm just looking at Twitter and I'm thinking the call and response has gone flat. And I'm thinking that maybe I'm actually dead. Maybe I'm in the afterlife. Maybe none of this is happening. That might explain things. So today or right now, actually, it's still going on this evening. It's the fridge that's playing up. I've been reading up the manual online. I've had to find the PDF. I've had to download it. the temperature setting, and all this other stuff about coils, make sure there's no dust on the coils at the back. I pulled it out from its spot in the kitchen. It's right next to the freezer because all my stuff is freezing. Now, I think what I've been doing is subconsciously panicking the last few weeks because of all the hoarders. So I was worried that I'd start running out of stuff. So every now and then I'd buy two of something. Milk, I think, is the big OCD I've got. You know, I live on my own and I'm buying about 10, 12 pints of milk for the weekend, like the apocalypse is coming. So I've got 6 pints of milk at the moment that's frozen. I've got carrots that are frozen, other veg that are frozen. There's a yogurt that's frozen. So I'm playing around with the temperature. I pulled the fridge out from where it is. I hoovered behind it. It didn't actually need much cleaning. So that's going on. And the carrots, it's as if the carrots are saying to me, because I think I've had to defrost them now a couple of times, it's as if they're saying to me, listen, pal, do you want us frozen or do you want us fresh? Make your mind up. And it's these little things that I think I probably would have dealt with worse, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. But these days in my chemically, well, enhanced would be the wrong word, in my chemical state, it still bothers me. It doesn't bother me as much, but it's still there. It's in the background. It's testing my OCDs. And I'm starting to think now that it might actually be me. I'm starting to think that this is another example of how I struggle with numbers. There's a little dial there. Now, they do say that fridge thermometers aren't the best indicators, that ideally you want to get a thermometer for the fridge. Shouldn't be a mercury one, apparently. I wouldn't even know how to use a thermometer, but I am looking into this because it's a concern. It's been going on for a while. And I've looked at the manual. I've looked at where the dairy products should be placed, because I had a bag of grated cheese froze as well over the weekend. So there's all that going on. There's the dial, and it's 1 to 5. Now, I thought that if I do the dial to the right, it means I'm setting it to go colder. So I've had it on 3, but it's actually, it's still been causing problems. And I'm now thinking that if I roll the dial to the right, that means I'm going lower and I need the temperature to be lower. And I'm just confused anyway. And I'm thinking I'm going to have to call Hot Point, the fridge manufacturers for this particular model, and just see if they can help. Maybe they don't even have anyone in right now with this lockdown or whatever it is we've got right now. So I think it says that when you change the settings, you should give it about 10 hours. Just before I came on air, I had a little squeeze of the big yogurt pot. The milk doesn't seem to be defrosting as much as it should be. It's a concern, and I don't want the fridge to be obviously warmer than it should be, because then that can cause you problems with, you know, I don't know, food issues, airborne food issues, whatever. I think I'm just making stuff up now. I've been reading a lot about this today. This has taken up my time. It's going to be a late night anyway for me, but I'll wake up thinking about this tomorrow morning. And I've got a mouse, a wireless mouse on the laptop. I've got a backup wireless mouse as well. Neither of them are working properly right now. And I've gone into the control settings on the laptop. And again, it's just stuff that I just want to create stuff. I want to make stuff. I want to get on with my day. I don't want to be dealing with this stuff. But it's just right now, I mean, this is what happens if you don't have the right equipment. I mean, I'm actually using Duracell batteries on this wireless mouse. The Kodak batteries, except for the fact that they wouldn't last more than a day or two, they actually worked when they were in the mouse, but I don't know what's going on with this. I'm having to double-click a lot on things to check things are working. I think Firefox has been playing up. It's frustrating. But, you know, here I am. I'm going on. I'm going to give you a good show. I'm going to kind of get on with the show right now rather than keep moaning. It's been a long day, but it's been a productive day. In bed late again last night, another midnight coffee. I spoke about that habit on the Patreon episode last week, episode 237. That coffee last night had the intended outcome of keeping me up late enough to listen to the Howard Hughes show that I love to listen to on a Sunday night, The Unexplained. The problem is I can't really get to sleep after that. And tonight is going to be the same after this. It's a bit like my days doing stand-up where whether the gig was good or bad, more often than not, it was the latter. I just couldn't get to sleep easily. I'm not a great sleeper anyway, but when I'm doing things like this late into the night, I mean, I've had a coffee right before I came on air tonight, and I'll be having another one afterwards when I'm uploading everything. So I'm probably looking at... I don't know, 3 in the morning before I get to bed. That's my fault. That's nobody else's fault. That's my fault. The problem is I can't sleep in. It's just not in me. So I'll be up by 8 and then I'm struggling again. So then I'm having more coffee during the day and it's a bit of a vicious circle. Not that I mind having the coffee because I enjoy having the coffee, but it might be that I have to go on some decaf for a while to start alternating because I'm definitely having too much caffeine at the moment. So up early this morning, as usual, despite that lack of sleep, I broke up the productive morning because it was a productive morning. I broke it up with a run just after 11. The park was the quietest I've seen for a while, which was good. There were still the usual topless posers in the park. I used one topless guy this morning who was running just ahead of me for about half a mile or more. I used him as my de facto pacemaker. I always find having a pacemaker, even if they're not aware that they're acting as a pacemaker, I always find that useful. And I've been running exactly a year this week. And I think if I'd had a regular running partner, as well as I've done this last year, considering I hadn't done this for about 15 years, I suspect I might be doing even better now. So I was tucked in behind Mr. Topless Poser. Initially, for most of that leg of my run, I was about 30 metres behind. He began to tire, I think, perhaps towards the end. And this was on the uphill leg of the route. I'm all over the place tonight. It's the that 2-minute delay, trying not to panic. Tonight. Okay, let's focus. Focus, David, focus. So I closed the gap on this guy to about 10 meters towards the end. And I thought, if I get close enough to see any suspicious looking moles on this guy's back, what do I do here? Because yes, he's a poser. Yes, he's stupid for thinking skin cancer isn't around right now just because it's all COVID-19 in the news. But with my talent for dermoscopy, I wondered if I got close enough to him and if I noticed suspicious looking moles on his back, did I then have a duty to stop him and tell him? Would I be the equivalent of, say, a doctor on a flight when someone falls ill on a flight? So that was something for me to consider. So as I began to close in on him, as I got to within about 10 metres of him, I started to slow down because I was worried about that. I was worried if I noticed something, I might think, OK, I've got to stop this guy. I've got to tell him what I'm seeing and it's going to be odd. I was wearing my new Sun Factor 50 sun cream today. I bought that on Friday. My usual one was 30. I don't think 30 is strong enough. And, I'm never clean shaven. It's never easy rubbing that into my... face, but I was just a bit worried that the stuff I was wearing wasn't enough of a sunscreen. And the heat saw me trying to run in single shorts last week. Normally I wear double shorts. If you're a regular listener, you'll know why I wear double shorts. I don't have the right kind of pockets to carry my phone for the Strava app and the keys. The single shorts didn't work because I could get the phone into the rear pocket, but I couldn't get the keys in there as well. And I couldn't put the keys down the new socks because they're sort of ankle socks and there's no room for the key. So I had to run with my keys in my hand, and as small as the keys are, it affects me like the water bottle. A couple of weeks back, when I debuted the new water bottle, and I was just struggling, and just looking at the Twitter, Baxmatic, Chaos Defrost, I think that's his Twitter handle. How's the toaster, Daniel? Hard to get the setting right with frozen bread. I think it's just myself and Baxmatic again tonight, one of my old Resonance FM listeners. Good evening, sir. But you know what? Here's the thing about frozen bread going into toasters. I think that's not a problem. That's something I started doing in the last 10 years because, you know, whenever I was living on my own, I was worried about wastage. The problem is everything else seems to be frozen. I don't really eat frozen food. I've got frozen bread as a backup in case I ever run out of fresh bread. And I say fresh bread, I drag out the little loaf for about 10 days. And it's just, the calzone pizza, the calzone conversion pizza, that's the only freezer food I touch every week. Everything else is from the fridge. But I don't know. I think this comes down to numbers. I'm anxious. Well, I'm not anxious. I'm eager to see how things look in there tomorrow because I just don't want to be wasting food. Okay, so yeah, I couldn't run with the keys. My dad always used to run with the keys in his hand. I remember that. I remember he'd loop them in his hand, never because I don't think he had zips on his red tracksuit when he was running during the winter, when he would run during the summer and he had his obscenely high shorts. I think they had a zip on them, but I just cannot run with anything. It's again, maybe it goes to the multitasking, but I just need my arms and hands free of stuff. You know, the running is hard enough without having my hands occupied. In other running news, currently securing the mullet with the erstwhile t-shirt and now unconvincing bandana. I sometimes wonder if that's why when the odd runner has overtaken me in the park, they've come up real close because they want to get a closer look at what looks like a very dubious bandana. I must be the only guy in the country hoping that Sports Direct opens soon, and I'm sorry about that. Okay, moving on now to a little item, and I've tweeted something. I think, let me just check Twitter, see if it's gone out. A little incident, yeah, it's just gone out, I think, in the last 4 minutes. An incident on the Argos live chat today relating to the mullet. I'm keeping an eye on this particular set of clippers that I'm keen on. They're still on Amazon for £124, even though they actually only retail for about £22. And both myself and the manufacturer have tried to get this item removed from Amazon to no avail. But I saw it became available on eBay during the week. I saw it on the Argos site. Anyway, it wasn't a the click and collect was very difficult. I was confused as to whether they actually had the item because it was saying limited stock was available. It was telling me to sort out a click and collect. I tried a number of stores and it kept telling me, no, it's not available. But I thought the idea was you buy the item and then you get it delivered to a particular store. So I thought, well, I'll give them a call. They weren't answering the phone. I know that this is a time where, pretty much every business isn't operating normally. I understand that. So then I waited on the live chat. It said 29 minutes, and it was longer than that. But I was patient. I was waiting. I kept checking the live chat. I got Mark first, and Mark didn't even let me explain what the issue was, really, before cutting me off. So I stayed on there. I think I had to wait another 30 minutes, maybe. Got Natasha. Natasha came on, and I explained to her what had happened with the last guy. In between these two live chats, I'd given a very negative feedback, and I'd actually given positive feedback on another site earlier today. So, you know, I always give the feedback, and I usually try to give positive feedback. But, Mark was very lazy with this. Mark knew that I was trying to explain what was going on with the clippers, that I had a genuine query. He cut me off. He didn't want to know. And Natasha apologized initially. Then I started explaining to her what my quandary was, you know, how blah, 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 this was confusing, etc., etc. I explained to her what was going on with the click and collect. You know, can I get this item? If I buy it, it's telling me that I can buy it. But when I have to go to the click and collect, I'm not able to organize a click and collect for anywhere. And let me just go on the Twitter, because I think she played me today. I think she was having some fun. And I think that if they were real people, and I'm assuming that they were, and they're probably working from home at the minute, so it wouldn't be a chat in a canteen on a break. But if these were normal times, they might, Mark and Natasha might encounter one another in the canteen, make some small talk in the staff canteen, and both through their small talk, become aware of the fact that they had an awkward customer trying to buy at some men's clippers, and they would both laugh as they realised they'd both cut me off. And who knows what might arise out of that commonality between the pair of them. You know, it might be that first moment, it might be their first big conversation, and from there a friendship or something more might develop. They might be together still in 5 years' time when we're in lockdown 33. There might be, I don't know, before that, having some sort of dinner party. How did you two guys meet? Someone might say, a mutual friend might say, and then they tell the story about the guy with a mullet trying to buy some men's clippers during lockdown one. So I sent Natasha a link. It said that's the item. It's available. Natasha said, one moment, please. And then she gave me the first ellipsis. I said, okay. She came back at 16:15. So there were 3 minutes had elapsed between her telling me one moment, please, and then her next response. That next response was, thanks for your patience, ellipsis again. I came back to her fine. I thought, okay, something's maybe going on here. And then another 3 minutes later, I'm sorry for keeping you, she said. Ellipsis again. And I started to get the impression that she was having some fun with me. And then sure enough, she just ended the chat. Natasha has left the chat. Not the best use of my time. Haven't been able to buy the clippers. I can't be going around with a samurai knot, not at this age. This is a disgrace. Even if this had happened 10 years ago, I would still be questioning my right at this age to go around with a samurai knot. I had to buy hairbands on Friday. That's how long the mullet is now. It's just it's a disgrace. The hairband days, for someone like me, they belong to the late 90s, early noughties. Mind you, at the weekend, this is interesting, I popped into the local shop to get the neighbours a daily right wing and the right wing on Sunday. And on both days, I had like small talk on the Saturday and the Sunday. Normally, he just does the one day and then buzz cut comes in for the other day. And as I've said before, likes small talk, loves a haircut, but his undercut has grown out. He's not gone down the buzz cut route that his business partner, now like small talk, took towards the end of last month. So obviously, hair is a big thing for this guy. And that's understandable. It is when you're young. You know, you're very ambitious, bordering on the ridiculous sometimes with your hairstyles. But we've all been there. We've all been young once upon a time. We've all done that. I'm as guilty as anyone else. And so it's clear that hair is a big thing for him. And I think as soon as the barbers open, I think he's going to be in there. He won't wait to see how things pan out. He is not going to give himself enough time to make an assessment, which is what I'll be doing, you know, before going to the barbers. And hopefully by then, anyway, I'll have been able to get my clippers and just, you know, got rid of the hair anyway. So I won't need to go to any barbers for a while. So on Saturday, likes small talk, he turned up at the shop with an Alice band, and that is very 2003. Even in 2003, I think it was slightly dated. It had been more popular on the continent. You'd see it in Italian football, in Spanish football. It tended to be a Latin thing. Then it started to creep into the English game, but it's a very dated look. And I think if it ever worked, and it's fair to say it did, but I think if it ever worked, it was only with long hair. And here's the thing, like small talk, he's got a long fringe, he can sweep it back, but the rest of the hair, because it's always an undercut, is still short. Even though it's grown out, it's still short by anybody else's standards. So to have an Alice band with what is mostly short hair, it just looks odd. It's the hairstyle equivalent of a centaur. And I don't have the courage to go into that shop with a samurai knot. So I'm just going in full mullet. And given that I spent 6 or 7 months during the winter when there was ample opportunity to get a haircut, I had the burgeoning mullet stroke bouffant. I had it covered under a hat. I had plenty of opportunities to cut it. I didn't cut it. So, yeah, I can't go in there with a samurai knot. It's just, I don't think he's probably going to be talking to people in his circle about my samurai knot. I don't have a social circle, so this is what I've got. I talk about it on a Monday night to what looks at the moment like an audience of one. I'm not really changing much in terms of the lockdown, in terms of how I'm handling it. I do think it's being eased up too early. That's my hunch. And as it has been and continues to be, I'm isolating alone. And if you're isolating alone too, a good thought, sends you on my part, because it is tough. But, you know, I would rather go through this difficult period for longer, and I would rather have gone through it for a good reason, for a good outcome, a longer lasting outcome. You know, I wouldn't want a brief glimpse of normality, which in my case, unfortunately, isn't too different to the last 10 weeks. So there's plenty of thinking for me to do as to how I change things around, you know, when this lockdown eases up properly. But I wouldn't want, what I'm saying is, I wouldn't want a brief glimpse of normality. And you'll note there, I didn't say normalcy. And I wouldn't want that brief glimpse of normality, and then we have to go through the lockdown again. I don't think that I could deal with knowing what this has been. You know, this I've gone into, you know, just like you guys have gone into it blind, and you just take it day by day. But if I knew that I had another 10 weeks to do of this, it would be very difficult. To be fair, certainly in my local park, I think this stretch of South London has been pretty much making things up as it goes along the last few weeks. So in terms of what I'm seeing on the streets and in the parks, it's not too much of a change. I do find myself wondering whether the cafe will survive this, whether it can survive this, whether any small business can survive this. I'm braced for the worst. I mean, I hear the shop across the road, it closes now at 9, whereby it used to close, you know, around 10:30, quarter to 11 in the evening. And that's a shop that's open every day. So they're still bringing money in and they're still closing much earlier. So given that the cafe has been closed now for about 10 weeks, how can a small business survive? So I'm preparing for the worst. If it does survive, fingers crossed it does. My appearances there will probably be rationed. And as my friend Mickey Blue, my old council worker friend who can't utter a single sentence without turning the air blue, says, if it does survive, I definitely shouldn't be sitting at the toilet table. I can't see how the cafe survives. And that gets me wondering whether I'll ever again have the best coffee I've ever tasted. I certainly wouldn't be sitting at the toilet table. I think that would be obvious to everyone that came in and saw me not sitting there if that table was available. I think they'd know that I was no longer sitting there because of the footfall past that table. Given that I'm well into double figures in my daily coffee intake, and today is no different, all these instant coffees, even though I've liked them, you know, I'm enjoying them. And I think they've brutalized my taste buds. So it's likely that if I ever had one of those glorious lattes again, my body would go into shock. I'd probably need to start off with small rather than tall glasses if those are offered. It would be a nice problem to have. I just can't see it happening. Talking again about everything, all the external sound being amplified in my ears because I'm wearing the earphones. I don't know if you guys can hear a disturbance outside. It's been like this now for weeks in London. You'll hear the police driving past, but you don't actually see them. And there just seem to be a lot of disturbances around locally late at night at the minute. So let me just push on with this. Face masks. I spent the morning looking for deals. I bought some 20 for £4. Already had a notification email that they're out for delivery. There was a deal, I think, offering 50 for just a fiver, but they were coming from China, and I just thought, for peace of mind, I'll stick with the 20. Now, as I was buying these today, even though it was just a small expenditure, I was thinking, if I was a football manager and if these face masks were the equivalent of a player, and I went to my foreign owner or, you know, the chief executive to try and get money for these masks that I bought today, and if they said to me, do you think these are going to make a difference to what we're trying to achieve if we don't sign them in this window? You know, if we don't sign them in this window, what happens? And I probably couldn't have said that those face masks would have been crucial. I think I've got, I think, three or four left that my cousin's wife had sent me. But I've been dragging them out, so I've been wearing them for longer than I should. And of course, the first mask I was wearing the wrong way round, as instructed. I don't see any in the park when I go through there, face masks, that is. And I do feel a bit of an idiot wearing them now when I'm walking through the park to the shops. So I just start, I just put them on as I get to the shop. As soon as I start queuing, the mask goes on. But of course, not ideal to be touching the mask on the street. The slippage is such a problem. It just doesn't stay on the bridge of my nose. So I'm not convinced by them, but, you know, marginal gains, if they're going to do something in a shop, then, you know, I've got no problem wearing them. Let's have a look at the time. It is 34 minutes past 10. You're listening to Daniel Ruiz Tyson, is available, episode 238, going out to you live on Ramble FM, sweating the small stuff every Monday night from 10 p.m. At the moment, it's looking like it's just myself and Baxmatic. Nice, loyal listener. There's the mouse not working again. I'm just trying to click on Twitter to see what's going on. So tonight I'm going to do things a little differently. Well, this week I'm going to do things a little differently. The Patreon show, that's going to come out on Thursday as normal. But tonight's show will be slightly different in that while Patreon listeners will get the show, tonight's show, episode 238, as usual, they'll be able to listen to it again or be able to listen to it from tonight if they've missed the live show. But I'm also going to be releasing it via Apple Podcasts overnight, and it will be out everywhere else too by tomorrow morning. That's Tuesday morning. So I'm trying that this week, see if that helps build some momentum. Meantime, episode 239, that's going to be out on Thursday morning, and that will be exclusive for Patreon supporters. You can support the show at patreon.com/DRT, available for just $7 a month. I've kept it simple. It's a single tier. And the Thursday Patreon show, you know, they're running at the moment anything from 30 minutes to 40 minutes. Tends to be a bit more of a personal show, you know. I would say that's what sets it apart from this, the regular show. You know, I'm effectively, with the Patreon show, I'm effectively inviting you into my rented accommodation. The lighting is dim, not because I'm trying to create an intimate mood. Well, not deliberately anyway, but simply because for whatever reason, there's no ceiling light in this front room, which has in turn led to the rapid deterioration of my eyesight as I work with lamps like some Victorian. If they had electricity, I think they might have had electricity right at the end. I don't know, even though I read a lot of Victorian fiction. But it is a small audience supporting the show, keeping the show afloat, and you know, I'm inviting them in on a Thursday, getting them to remove their shoes on the mat. That shoe removal would be covered in an email beforehand, save any awkwardness when Los Quinte arrive at the flat. I would just open the door, pretend it's not a big issue. I'd turn my back as they come in, and I'd just assume that the shoe removal email is sufficient, that I'm not going to be put in a position by them where I have to say, sorry, do you mind removing your shoes? Other ways to support the show, in addition to Patreon, is to do your Amazon shopping via my website. If you go to my website, there's an Amazon link on there. It's also on the Facebook page. You click on the Amazon link at danielruistyson.com. It takes you through to your Amazon page, recognizing that you've come through via my page, and kicks back a small percentage of your purchase back to my work at no extra cost to you. And all these little things keep this work ticking over. The Facebook page, facebook.com/DRT, is available. That's still being worked on by a friend. Difficult for me to access it, difficult for me to post anything on there, difficult for me to schedule stuff on there. But, you know, I'm doing what I can, but I can't actually access it properly. And I think that might be down to a bug. I think, you know, a couple of people have told me now, including my friend who's looking at it, that, you know, they're making big changes on Facebook, and it's likely that the page will have been caught up in that. So, you know, for long-term gain, there's been some short-term pain for people like me who manage pages rather than personal accounts. On Thursday's Patreon show, I'll talk about some patron-related housekeeping. I've had to do a bit of reading on that. Finally found the time this morning, so I'll be reporting back to patrons on Thursday's show, waiting for patrons to come back to me with some answers to queries that I've had. Ways to get in touch: Twitter and Instagram, 1607 West Egg. Instagram seems to be the strongest social media presence I have. Pretty straightforward to get followers there. If Instagram had links, clickable links, it would be the best social media there is, but it doesn't. That's its. I think that's its big failing, but I do get a lot of new followers on there rather than the Twitter account, 1607 West Egg. Well, they're both 1607 West Egg, but that Twitter account, I think, peaked in 2010. You can email the show, DRT, available at westegg1607.co.uk. If you've got the time, if you've got the inclination, if you can understand how important it is for creators to get reviews on iTunes / Apple Podcasts, that's why we ask all the time. And there are shows far bigger than mine, with far bigger, better known presenters than myself, who are asking the same thing. And they've already got hundreds, maybe even over 1,000 reviews on there. And I'm asking, I've had 54, one in, I think, 2.5 years. It's I can't grow the show like that. And I need to start growing this show to justify the amount of time that's going into it. Well, that's always been going into it anyway. So it may be that I need to start a mystery show just to bring some listeners in. Might need to consider that some sort of unexplained thing. How did my career stagnate? That's the opening episode right there. Still to come, a Nectar Points update. But first, another. There's the voice going. There's the hard swallow following the voice going. There's a bottle of water within reach of me, but I can never drink water when I'm on air. Just, again, it's that multitasking thing. But I've unscrewed the top, and that's helping me. That's getting my breathing right. That's helping me calm down. There's still that disturbance going on outside. You've got to be a real idiot to be just shouting out in the street at any time, but particularly this time of night. It's such, you know, just such a lack of respect for the community. And it's kind of those kind of people. That's why I question whether the afterlife can exist. And if it doesn't, then I'd like to live forever. Obviously, I'd like a more interesting life than I presently have. But I think I could, you know, I'd be up for living forever rather than that reincarnation. I'm certainly not up for any reincarnation. Before the Nectar Points update, another hectic Friday afternoon trip to Lidl in Brixton, where the fiercest shop staff in South London were once again butting heads with customers. Last week, they met with a formidable opponent, though, and you know, ideally I like to be getting the Friday shopping trip out of the way in the morning like I used to pre-lockdown. The last 10 weeks it's just not possible, so I've just come to dread Friday afternoons. It begins with some gentle queuing up at Tesco to get the Neighbours It's Not OK magazine, the only store I can find it in without going all the way to WH Smith or the Nine Elms Monster. That disturbance outside is just getting louder. I'm wondering if at some point, if something serious happens out there, the police might ask for a copy of this show, and that would be an unusual way to get more listeners. But it's still going on out there. It's still... just don't get the breaks with this show, you know. I'm used to the police sirens going past, but I wouldn't mind hearing them now. But this is something else, and a couple of weeks ago it was something else. It's very annoying. So getting the Neighbours It's Not OK magazine, I go to the big Tesco's. They try to their credit to implement a one-way system, but it's not always possible to observe that. Once I've got the magazine, I then proceed to Lidl. I take my book with me. The external queue moves a little quicker than Tesco, but that's because the social distancing measures in that German budget supermarket aren't as well managed as they are in Tesco's. They're just paying it lip service, really. So I was in Lidl on Friday, and I saw this member of staff. And by the way, they're rougher sky rather than being at the self-checkout as he normally is. He was on shelf stacking duties, finally got himself a mask. But it was a fabric mask, and I could see the outline of his mouth working away behind the mask as he struggled to control that temper of his, though it wasn't clear this time who'd irked him. Meanwhile, another member of the Pistons, Henry was his name, he found himself pursued by a dogged middle-aged woman. Perhaps not the full ticket, it should be said. And, I'd stand by that. But her fearlessness and her resoluteness in confronting the Pistons was something to admire. The gist of it was that she had called the store earlier in the day for ice, apparently. And she'd been told by this Henry to come in at a certain time for it, which I'm assuming is what she'd done. And now, according to Henry, the ice had come in, but there was no one to get the ice for her. I don't know how that works, how involved that process is, but that's what he said. Understandably, she wasn't happy that she'd gone all the way there for nothing. Henry was saying there's no one around to help her. There was a clash of very strong opinions exchanged. Henry didn't look too fazed. I carried on with my shopping. I was trying to focus. I'd made a decision not to buy any more quintets of bananas while it's this warm because they've been spoiling in the cupboards. I briefly contemplated a switch to kiwi fruits while this argument was playing out behind me. And Spanish kiwi fruits, I may have said in recent shows, chumbos as they're called, they are magnificent. They're one of the great fruits, maybe my favourite fruit. But over here, they're not very good and they're much smaller. They're less sweet. The skin on a kiwi fruit, curiously, is apparently more nutritious than the actual fruit itself. But who in their right mind is going to eat that? Plus, I know what handling kiwi fruit skin does to my face in terms of expressions. It's not quite as bad as the skin on a peach, but I think it's in that area, you know, and I don't really like pulling fruit facials because they tend to be anguish facials, usually relating to peeling that skin. I don't know to this day how people can eat peaches. Peaches. I'm a nectary man myself. I can't abide the skin on a peach. Just sets my teeth on edge. So at the moment, I'm just doubling up on blueberries, which are currently on offer in Lidl at £1.19. So to go with another football analogy, it's like having your fans wanting a big name signing because the bananas have gone. But you think you can fill the gap with a fruit already at your disposal, in this case, the blueberries. Now, the fans might not be happy, but you have to do what is right for you. I was also looking for a huge improvement in my fish packing stroke transportation technique, and I ended up seeing the culmination of Henry's problem with his female customer because I was trying to pack the budget breaded fish as well as I could for the long walk home, and I was struggling. I have to say I had too many bags on me. I travelled into Lidl with a rucksack rather than the normal bag because it's very heavy to take this stuff back. I'm not using buses, so I'm trying to make my return to the flat as easy as possible. Behind me, as I was trying to get the fish transportation right, the woman who clashed with Henry, she was buying her or doing her shopping with someone who might have been her mum or sister. And she had been trying to establish Henry's identity with the cashier that was serving her. I think that she said he'd removed his name badge as they started arguing, and he'd refused to give her his name. So she asked the cashier for a manager. She was told the manager wasn't around. She dug her heels in, regardless of the long queue that was waiting to be served. A couple of cashiers, realizing that she wasn't going anywhere without a name, they finally gave up Henry. Henry's colleagues had given him up. As she left, the woman turned to the Pistons that had gathered to watch the commotion, and she said, "You tell Henry he's getting reported." Maybe I got distracted with all the effort of packing the fish, right, and observing the latest Pistons versus customers clash. I'd taken my eye off the ball. I got home to discover the golden delicious that I get. The Liverpool of apples, really, I think. A big power in the 70s and 80s, like Liverpool, but out of favour lately. But my favourite apple, and hopefully much like the team I support, are on the way back. But the golden delicious, the six-pack of golden delicious, they weren't in the best condition when I saw them in the flat on Friday as I was unpacking everything. So there were a couple of dodgy apples in there, so I made sure that those first two apples got eaten over the weekend. So that's something for me to bear in mind on Friday, is to, you know, have a better look at the fruit, be a bit more careful with my fruit picking. I'm running pretty late here, so let me see if I got time to tell this little next bit. The Pistons, I was thinking, the Pistons do remind me of a class from school who were the year above, 2UT. Their teacher was Mr. Utley. So they were called 2UT. I think they had Utley in the third year as well. And they were such a rough class. They inspired a series of sketches I did for BBC Scotland in the early noughties. They were the worst class, the most violent group of kids that I ever encountered at a very violent school. And I remember that there was one time I had to stand in for the kid that would take the registers round to the classrooms. And it was just one trip into that classroom, 2UT's classroom. And I knew some of the guys from primary school, and I also knew one kid from Spanish consonant school. So in that respect, I was lucky. And the kid from Spanish consonant school was probably the biggest character of all. He was maybe the smallest kid in the class, fearless. Garcia, his name was. I can't remember his first name, but he was a really tough character, a very funny character. But I remember walking into that classroom and a bigger guy was being dragged across the floor by his tie, by little Garcia. And it was like walking into a scene where it was Lord of the Flies, but on acid. And my mum had recently converted my flared trousers. She was a gifted seamstress and she'd narrowed them. So they were really, really, really tight. And as I went in there, someone started, cracking gags about the trousers. And I was only in there maybe for about 10 or 12 seconds. Possibly the longest 10 or 12 seconds of my 5 years in that school. That was it. I never did the register again. 2UT, it was like the Bash Street Kids meets Lord of the Flies meets, I don't know, whatever, Woodstock. Just a real bunch of characters. I mean, how that teacher kept those guys in check. I'm not sure there was much evidence that he was keeping them in check, but maybe another teacher wouldn't have done such a good job. They were just an incredibly hard class, and even in a very hard year, which is what they were, the year above us, were probably the last very hard year that we had in that school, which was closing down after the year below me finished. That class, 2UT, the characters in that class, I've never seen that before, and I never saw that since at school or college. They were just incredible. Here I am still talking about them three decades on. So that's the little thing dealt with. Let's go back before I finish. Let's go back 24 hours from that moment, my Thursday afternoon Sainsbury's trip. By the way, the oven lighter that I got a couple of weeks ago from Sainsbury's, it is working like a dream, but I've noticed it's a little bit shorter than the old oven lighter, so that's going to take me a while to get used to it. I'm having to reach deeper into the oven when I'm firing it up on a Saturday night for the calzone conversion, so I need to be careful with that. Here are my Sainsbury's receipts, two receipts. I started with 440 points going into last Thursday. The spicy chicken pizza was available, £1.50. Got some coffee refill, that was £3.50. Had to pay a fiver for Voltarol gel to try and numb the knee and back. And, you know, the knee is really causing me some problems. I'll go into that a bit more on, I think, Thursday's show. I can't even remember if I've mentioned it on the show earlier. It feels like I've been doing this for a couple of hours now. The sun cream, I actually got that in Tesco's just before Lidl. That was on offer for £3.50. 6 pints of milk appears to have gone up 5p to £1.55. I accrued 12 points. That took me to 452 points worth £2.26. Then with the cash that I had on me, I bought the Neighbours Radio Times for £3.30. That was 3 more points. So finished on 455. Of course, they're not actually giving out Nectar vouchers right now, unless it's just me, but I don't think they're giving them out. I'm assuming that's related to the current health situation. So 455 points, that's decent anyway. What I tend to do, because I've never gotten around to buying one of those bags that Sainsbury's bought in a few months back to replace the plastic bags you pack your fruit and veg in, a move which I wholeheartedly back and which I've extended to. For example, I don't buy yogurts with the plastic lid, or if they do offer plastic lids, I just leave the plastic lids in the shop. You know, I'm not trying to limit the plastic I bring into the flat. So I tend to get the Radio Times into the basket first, and that serves as a lining in the basket, on the basket. And then I get the loose oranges and the baked potatoes. They just get placed on top of the magazine rather than directly onto the basket. So I think that's some clever thinking on my part. Those bags for the fruit and veg, they're only, I think, 30p. But I don't know if you need to get more than one. For example, if you're buying oranges, can you also put the loose baked potatoes in there? I don't know. Something for me to consider. Certainly more hygienic than what I'm currently doing with the Radio Times. And that is it, a slightly longer show this week, or maybe it isn't given the late start today. If you've got any feedback on the show, any technical feedback for me to take to ramble, please drop me an email or a DM on Twitter. It's all useful for them and for me. Disturbance outside still going on. This is why I would never live on a ground floor. Imagine if I'm 70, 80 years old living on a ground floor trying to get to sleep, not knowing if I'm going to wake up in the morning because I might die in my sleep. I might be one of those lucky people and I've got this going on right outside my window. It's not going to be very nice, is it? So that is it anyway. So feedback, do get in touch. DRT available at westex1607.co.uk or just send me a DM on Twitter. You can follow the Instagram. That is probably the best place to find all this work right now, other than the website. That is the show this week then. Patron supporters, los quince. If you missed the start of this live episode, it's going to be available later tonight at patreon.com/DRT available. You should get a notification email and it will be available, as I said, to regular listeners from early tomorrow morning. That's Tuesday. On Thursday, patron listeners, you'll get your weekly bonus episode with episode 239. There'll be a Star Wars football update on there. And a 77-year-old family mystery gets some tentative media interest on the Star Wars football. Been some big games the last few days, which I look forward to bringing you up to speed with. If you want to join them, if you want to be patron number 16, patreon.com/DRT. Available. There won't be many more worthwhile Patreon offers out there. Single tier, $7. You get in free content every week, bonus content every week. I think that's a good deal. And thank you guys for listening. I'm back next Monday on Ramble FM, hopefully on time. Meantime, it is time for you guys to get your shoulders back, keep on walking towards the sun, and keep washing those hands. I'm Daniel Ruiz Tyson. And today I have been available. Stay safe.